This interview is being conducted on June 5th, 2013, and I'll have the person who's the subject of our interview today introduce himself and his connection to the grain industry.
Lawrence Ferlin, former employee of Saskatchewan Wheat Pool, worked at elevators 6, 8, 5. Four and seven.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. And I'm going to ask you about those elevators a little later on. I should also mention that sitting in on the interview is Trudy, Lawrence's wife, who we interviewed independently a few weeks ago. So if you hear a voice other than mine and Lawrence's, that's who's here. Now, I should also say that Lawrence and Trudy kindly let us borrow a family album that has a couple of pictures in it related to the grain trade. And a little later on in the interview, we'll take a look at those photographs and if you can make what comments you might make about what you remember about the photographs or what you've been told about Lawrence, that would be great. So those photographs go back a little ways, and that's how I want to start today is you weren't the first member of your family who was in the grain industry.
No, my father was there, and my mother wouldn't let him, let me work at the elevators because she didn't trust them. They had a habit of blowing up.
And I understand that from Trudy's interview that your family was involved in those explosions. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah. My father was an annexman at Pool 5 in the North End in 1945 when it blew up. He was standing at the bus stop on Cumberland Street when it went up. I lost a couple of uncles and cousins in the explosion. One of them they never found for 6 weeks.
And?
But I didn't know the people. But,
when were you born?
1939.
Okay, so you were just a youngster at the time.
Yeah, I was just starting school, I guess.
Who were the family members who were killed? Do you remember their names?
They were just their last name. They were Harrises. Now, who they were? There was an album with their names and where they were found and everything else, but I don't know where that's gone.
Was it an album that your family had?
Yeah, just pictures my father took after the explosion. And they put footnotes on. But I think my sister got that album and nobody knows where it is.
Oh, what a shame. Mm-hmm. Your sister is...
dead.
Is dead. Oh, you know, this is one of the reasons our project exists, is that we're trying to make sure that a lot of these other things don't get lost. Your dad was an annexman. What do you know what an annexman did?
Well, yeah, he after the grain was put into the elevator, it had to go into certain bins. And it was his job to direct it into those bins. All he did was put a big spout over a hole in the floor and let it go.
But you had to make sure you weren't putting it in the wrong bin.
Oh, yes.
Did that ever happen?
Oh, that happened quite often. The wrong stuff went in the bin, but...
And how did that get fixed?
A lot of times it was just left. if it was close, if it was number one wheat or number two, they just left it. And when they loaded it on the boat, they mixed it up then.
Ah. And they were within what they called the tolerance.
Yeah, there were so many kernels of wrinkles and so many full kernels. Yeah. Mm.
Now, you had said that your grandmother, because of her experience with her family members that had died in the explosions, was not keen on you going into the industry, but you did. How did that happen?
My mother.
Oh, your mother. Okay.
Oh, well, I was in the Army for a while, and when I got out, I was laying around home. And one day my father says, woke me up and said, go get a job and don't come home till you got one. So I went to the pogey office and they sent me to the elevators.
Did you have a choice of what elevator you went to, or they sent you to a specific elevator?
Oh, they sent me to Pool 6, which is Saskatchewan Pool 6. And then they hired me, and then they shuffled you where they needed you.
What was your first job?
In the car shed, taking broken grain doors out of the pits that they dumped the grain out of the boxcars into these big pits. Well, the doors got broken and that. Before the next car went in, you had to go down and get all the paper and junk and whatever else was in the car out of the way.
So what kind of system did they have there for getting into the boxcars? Because some of the elevators had dumpers, some just had...
Well, this house, Pool 6 had... originally it was a shovel house. And then they put in four big dumpers. And when the steel door was open, there was wooden doors inside holding the grain back. And they had automatic... dumpers, or door breakers. Big electric motors rammed the door off, smashed it all to pieces.
What did the rammer look like? Like what, did it look like just a big long pole, or?
No, it's just a flat disc, just pushed against the door. And they broke. Sometimes the car wiggled a little, but they broke, and they held the door inside until the car was empty. And then once the doors were broken, grain started coming out, and then they started dumping the car end to end. And then what they call baffles went in right from the right and left side, depending on which end the car was dumped. If it was down on the right side, the one on the left went in. So when they tipped it up, there was a deflector to take the grain out of it as it come past the door.
And was that system pretty efficient? Did it empty up really well?
That was the most efficient. It was the fastest. And then later on, they came with another one called a C-bar dumper that tilted the car, and it used the wall and the floor as the baffle. And it smashed the door, tilted the car towards you, and then tipped it up. And it ran in a little trough out.
Almost like a seesaw action?
Yeah, it's big teeter-totters.
Teeter-totter, that's the word I was looking at. Teeter-totter. How did you like that first job?
Well, the first one was good.
What did you like about it?
It was easy. That was the whole job, just cleaning that thing out after, till the next car come in.
Climbing in and out of the pit?
Yeah.
You were a young man then?
Oh, yes. A little younger than I am now. Anyway, more agile, too. But it was all young people then. And the only drawback then at layoff time, they sent you to Pool 5. Which was a shovel house only. And you shoveled the cars by hand. You emptied them by hand. The first day, you did 9 cars. Then after that, it was 10 cars a day. You shovel them out, sweep them out, and then they'd bring in another one. It was 2 people. But the shovels were about 3-foot square pieces of hardwood baffles pulled by electric cables. And it was all automatic. It was slack there. You pulled it into the car and then held it. And the cables were rewound and pulled the baffle out. You had to stand there and hold it up. And if it hit something and tipped over, you let go of it or you'd get pulled through the grate. But shoveling was difficult because people used to steal grain by drilling a hole through the bottom of the car. Well, when the railroad got the car back, they nailed a piece of 2x4 over the hole and the shovel hit it and just flipped you right out the door. Yeah.
Wow. So were there lots of injuries or because young people?
They're young people, and after the first time it stopped, you learned you didn't hold it very tight so that it could pull out of your hand very easy.
I have never heard that before about the story about the drilling through the bottom, yeah, but never how the railway company fixed it and the implications.
Yeah, they just nailed a board over the hole on the inside so the grain didn't go out. And then they pulled along like that with you holding it up. Just pulled the stuff out the door.
Hmm. Now, you said Pool 5. Pool 5 was, first there was Pool 4 and 5 over in Current River.
Yeah.
And then there was a Pool 5 that surfaced.
Pool 5 surfaced.
At Western Grain.
Over on the river.
On the river. So which one were you working at?
The one on the river.
Okay.
Because Pool 5 blew up in 45.
Did they rebuild it?
No, they knocked it down. Built Pool 4B.
Oh, okay.
And A and 4 and 5, and then they took over what was left of 5, demolished it, completely rebuilt it, called it 4A and B.
And then there was another explosion there.
Yeah, A house went the next time. It was just a little one. It fell over the boat, killed a guy on the boat. But...
No family members lost in that one?
No.
Killed in that, yeah. Eventually.
I remember that one because that happened right at noon when I was getting out of school, grade 7.
And where were you going to school?
Prospect Avenue.
Ah.
So we went down there for the rest of the day.
Describe the scene as you remember it.
Just a big hole in one side of the building. That's it. And all the stuff laying across the boat.
Must have been ambulances and...
No. By the time we walked there, all that was over. The only thing there was lots of police, so you couldn't get near it. Mm. But we went on the property of the other elevator, and it was just a big hole in the wall, that's all.
Were there lots of school kids down there?
No.
Checking things out?
So
just the little rascals.
Just the ones who had relatives there and could walk.
Yeah. Did you have family working there at the time?
Yeah, my dad was in there at that time.
In the annex?
Part.
Now, you said something about his offices being...
Yeah, well, the annex on the top of all the tanks, there's a little office there. So he... keeping all these records and all that on blackboards. Each tank is numbered and he writes down what's in it. And those offices were taken off both times.
Taken off as in blown off?
Yeah.
He obviously wasn't in them.
No, he was out on Cumberland Street both times.
Wow.
But it was interesting work.
His dad's cousins also worked there at the elevators.
Oh,
what family was that, his cousins?
Well...
Was there Sonny and...
Oh, Froans. All Froans.
All Froans.
We're all Froans. They're all related, but we're not related to each other than they are to us.
How did your dad get involved in working in elevators?
He started at what was Pool 6 before Saskatchewan Wheat Pool owned it.
It was Manitoba Pool.
Manitoba Pools, I guess. And then...
How long, do you know when his career started, approximately? Was he away in the war?
No, he was guarding the elevators during the war.
So he had started before that?
Yeah, the regiment here had guard duties at the elevators. He was in the late Sioux then. Oh. I don't know, he used to be a farmer out in O'Connor, and then met up with my mom, I guess. I have no idea when he started.
But before the war?
Yeah, oh yeah, because he had picked, there used to be a trestle out to that.
When was your dad born? Maybe we can sort of figure it out from that. Oh, in the 1800s.
Well, your mother was born in 1904.
Well, he was around there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So he could have possibly started in the 1920s or 30s.
Yeah, it's quite
And
possible.
I wonder if it was Canadian Northern then.
Might
before,
have been.
Yeah.
Might have been.
Canadian Northern, because that's when it was out on an island.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just waiting for them now to finish their great marina project when they find out that there's a trestle buried under that.
Ah, but interesting.
They never took trestle down.
They just built over it.
They just put screenings and old grain and bark and sawdust from Oscar Stiff's. I imagine that's what...
We'll look at our old pictures. We've got some great old postcards which show just what you're talking about. And I'll look for that trestle, and maybe they should take a look at it before they start excavating. Take a look at the postcards to see where these things might be.
They don't know half of what's there.
Did your dad ever talk about what it was like working in the old days? You know, whenever you complained about it, he said, oh, well, son, you know, I worked there.
He never... It was funny. We both worked there at the same time at the end, but...
Same elevator.
But he never talked about that.
No?
No, it was... He went to work every morning, and that was all there was to it. He was a qualified carpenter. He served his apprenticeship in B.C., but he come down here and ended up at the elevators.
Mm. Did you get a sense
he enjoyed that more, I think, but...
Well, when they retired him from the elevator, he became the watchman at the elevator, so... Yeah.
He knew what he was doing around the place. So.
Mm-hmm. How did he get to work?
Somebody picked him up on the way to work.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Someone who had a car.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of these guys in the early days walked to work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he didn't have a car until later on. Although when he married my mom, he had a car.
Mm. Let's go to your career then. You started out, we left you when you were shuffling. Grain at Pool 5, which I understand from listening to other people, was where they sent people to see whether or not they were...
Going to last.
They were going to last. Did you get that sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that was understood. You knew that was the layoff list would go up and who was going to what elevators. And if you got sent to 5, you knew you were on your last week of work before you got laid off. And then sometimes when they called you back, you went back to 5 to start, or you went right to your original house.
Now, was when you went to you went to Pogie, as you called it, and then they sent you off the elevators, and you went to Pool 6. Was that your first time in an elevator?
Yeah.
What did you think of them when you first saw them, the inside of them?
Interesting. I liked machinery.
Tell me about that.
Well, just how things were done and that how you moved it around. It just, I just like machinery, that's all.
The elevator.
Whole building, yeah, the whole building is quite the setup. You don't wear the stuff out moving it around. And they know where every boxcar is in an elevator. You unload a couple of thousand cars a year, and they know where every one of them boxcars went. Which is a good idea, but that was interesting.
Yeah, it's one way that Canada kept its reputation for good quality grain, because it shipped what it said it was going to be shipping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, when you loaded a boat, they were constantly sampling the stuff. You sampled it in the elevator. You sampled it when it came out the pipe into the boat. You done it that sample. And they kept them samples. So when the boat left, they had a sample of all the grain.
Now, you didn't, I don't think that you ended up shoveling for the rest of your career.
Oh, no, I got, the second year I was made a scale floor helper.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's just weighing the grain coming in out of the boxcars. The boxcars were all emptied. And the grain was weighed and checked to see if it was what was supposed to be in the car. Then it was put away to be cleaned, and you weighed it out at 90, about 60 tons a scale load. And again, it all went on record. You stayed on shipping or receiving for the first year, and then the third year I was up there, I was on shipping, putting the stuff on the
difference between those two jobs, the receiving versus the shipping.
No difference at all, except where the grain went.
Speed more of an issue with ship?
No, because they had special bins that they could drop into if the boat wasn't there when it was supposed to be. They had special shipping bins that they could drop the grain into, and then as soon as the boat came, it was already weighed and ready to go. It could go right into the boat. That's how they managed to load a million bushels a day in one of the boats.
That was that the record?
Yeah, they loaded over a million bushels of oats in a boat in one day. But they had all the shipping bins were full when the boat showed up, so.
Excellent. Forward thinking.
Yes, it was. It used to be a very slow process, everything, and a little more efficient as it got on.
Where were you working then when you were on the scale floor?
Pool 6.
Back at Pool 6.
Pool then. 6 and Pool 8 over near the CP station at Fort William.
The old Ogilvies.
Yep.
How did you, because you were in those, at least those three elevators, I think you mentioned some others that you were in, how would you compare the elevators themselves between Pool 6, Pool 5, and Pool 8?
Well, Pool 8 was very antiquated, very slow. It was anything coming in went through two old, very old dumpers, and anything going out had to be loaded on a boat along outside the building to the river, and then down the river a little bit and into the boat.
Because their bins are a little bit back from the...
Well, it's just the way it was set up. I guess at one time it was fast, but it just got slower and slower because it was so old. And Pool 5, I have no idea what happened after we shoveled it in a hole in the floor.
Because you never worked on
it. I never went in, it never was inside Pool 5. But Pool 5 also had a feed mill where they bagged the grain up for feed.
In Pool 5?
At Pool 5, yeah. and they used to bag it and load it right into rail cars. I was lucky I never got stuck on that. So.
Why do you say that?
I don't like carrying 50-pound bags of grain. Not if I don't have to.
Did you have a preference for dealing with one type of grain versus the other? Like you mentioned,
no.
Oats.
No, Sask Pool had 90% of the elevators here. So at Pool 6, they only took wheat and oats, nothing else. If it came in and got accidentally unloaded, like a load of Durham wheat, it was put right back into an empty car and sent out because they didn't want to do that. That went somewhere else. And that way they kept a huge quantity of everything spread all over town. They didn't put too much of a mixture in either building.
Much difference in dealing with the weighing of one versus the other?
No.
Like flax versus oats? Or
no. Flax is terrible. It's slippery.
And what difference does that make?
Well, it's hard to walk on. And it, when it come in the cars were lined with heavy paper, construction paper, so the flax didn't leak out the cracks. Well, when you unloaded them, you got all that paper torn up. It all went into them, and it was a real pain. But oats, nice and light, dusty, but it was good, nice, clean to load.
So which houses, which Saskatchewan houses dealt with oats?
Most of them had oats, but Pool 7 was mostly Durham wheat. Everybody had their own kind of specialty where they boat would come in and take a whole load at one elevator rather than go to three or four different ones and pick up a load eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But
so things would be quite different now on the waterfront with Saskatchewan wheat pole.
Well, down to nothing.
Yeah, and having to deal with everything at one spot.
Yeah. They don't even have crews at every elevator now. They have one crew that goes to every elevator and does unloading and everything else.
Mm.
And when I worked there, it was over 2,000 people on the waterfront, just in elevators. Now I think there's 300.
And I think that's
going down.
Exaggerating.
Yeah.
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 But, no, and interesting work. It's just that you had to be careful because you could get cut up pretty bad, very easily by not paying attention to what you're doing.
Did you? I didn't even ask you. How long did you work?
4 years.
On the scale floor.
Altogether, 4 or 5 years at the elevators, and then they. If I'd have worked 2 weeks, and they weren't consecutive.
So what were those 4 years that you worked there?
Oh, God.
You have to put it in perspective, eh?
Yeah.
Now where?
Got laid off October 23rd, 1964.
Yeah, the day I got married. The day before I got married.
The day before we got married.
Oh, so you worked from 60 to 64 then? Perhaps.
No. 64 to 67.
Okay.
Yeah, 67 when I went to the jail.
Did you, not to jail, we just want to make that. We just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Did you regret, other than the fact that, you know, if it had been steady work, would you have stayed?
Oh, I probably would have. It would have paid fantastic, but it just, the guy that was behind me on the seniority last, next guy, he worked 2 weeks that year. And he didn't work the next year at all. And then he eventually became car shed foreman down there. But being just married and a house and everything else, I couldn't afford to sit around.
No.
So.
No. Tell me a bit about the other people who worked there. Was it a pretty mixed workforce?
Oh, yeah. If you could speak Italian, you had it made. But
why was that?
It was all Italians there. But
the managers wouldn't have been Italian, I wouldn't think.
Oh, some of them
were. They?
They had the seniority. You could get any job you wanted. But the manager at Pool 6, he was a veteran. I don't know how long he'd been there before or after, but...
Do you remember his name?
I didn't until you mentioned it. Fred Haig.
Okay.
And, Did
people get along?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Most of them, there weren't groups. Like, if you were on the scale floor, you were so busy with your scale, you were the only one on that piece of machinery. At Pool 6, they had four scales. It was four guys running scales. That was it. If you weren't doing that, you were underneath it sweeping. So, there wasn't, other than the car shed, there wasn't a lot of free time, we'll put it that way. You were working all the time. Mm-hmm. There was always something to do.
You were there a relatively short time. Were there any changes that took place in that time frame, or did things were things unlike today, pretty much steady, no changes?
Although there weren't very many changes. Just around the end of July, things slacked off every year. The crop year changed, mm-hmm. and then they sped right up again once all the year-end tallying was done, and right back at it again until
the
lake
froze.
So
you'd be called back in?
Well, you might be laid off for a week, or you might have you out there weeding the tracks for a couple of weeks. They kept as many on as they could. Like some of the elevators, I don't know if you talked to anybody that worked at Searle, but they had so many employees. In the summer, you worked like hell. In the winter, you took it easy. They didn't lay their crew off, but they didn't hire it more in the summertime either. You worked year-round, and when you worked, you worked.
Mm. You mentioned Searle Elevator, and I've seen a picture of, or pictures of their photograph album when they had, I don't know what celebration it was, but it was in 1945, mm-hmm. and they were showing, you know, out-of-town visitors, mostly from Winnipeg, coming in, and the grounds were like a park.
Oh, yeah.
Did you find that back in those days, the elevator companies actually did pay attention to the grounds around them?
Oh, yeah, and family. Like Sask Pool used to have huge, big summer picnic for their staff. Like all the elevators closed down for the one day, and they went to the casino park on Cumberland Street there, and they big tent full of stuff and give it to the kids, and there was races and everything else.
Mm.
But that died out too.
During your time?
Yeah, oh, during my growing up.
Yeah. Oh, during your growing up.
Yeah.
Why do you think that changed? Any thoughts on that?
Union.
Oh, wow. Well, I wouldn't have... That wouldn't have come first.
Guys wanted to be paid for that day off. And they said, fine, we'll pay you. We won't have the day off anymore.
Isn't that sad?
The union was good, but the union was bad too. They still are.
Sort of the downside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were the highest paying jobs in town when I started there.
Did you ever give any thought while you were working there for your connection to the farmers out west?
No, only when her uncle come down one time, took him through the elevator. He'd never been the one. And that was the only time.
What, do you remember his thoughts?
Surprised. That was Gabe.
In what way?
Well, he just drew the stuff. He said he didn't know where it went or anything else. So he got a full half-day tour of the elevator. And there's nowhere he couldn't go to be shown what was going on. He enjoyed it. They happened to be loading a boat that day. So we watched that from top of the building.
Surprised at the size, was he?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, now they have all these terminals out in the prairies. That's why these are dying out.
Not the size of these ones, but no, bigger than the original little, yeah. Prairie.
But see, owners. They do all the cleaning and that out there now. Yeah. So the farmer making more money out of it, mm-hmm. Not the elevators.
You know, you mentioned the picnic, and I remember seeing pictures of the picnic, but before I go on to that, you mentioned that you worked at Pool 5, 8, and 6, and we've heard of those, but there were at least one other one that you mentioned. Did you work seven. In? Did you ever work at 7?
I worked at 7, but that wasn't for Sask Pool. I worked there after they had an accident putting in an elevator.
Putting in an elevator in an elevator?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, it's only built for 4 guys and there was 7 in it. And it fell from the top of the building.
Any injuries?
No, they were backed in too tight. It was,
you were with Otis then, weren't you?
Yeah. But they packed it in too full.
Well, this is good to know because we take some tours of Pool 10.
Okay, yeah.
Which is now Western Grain Byproducts.
The one-man elevator.
Just about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go up in the elevator and oftentimes we have 5 people in there, but I'm going to think twice before I'm going on a tour there tomorrow to take a couple of people up.
Is that the one with the rope drive?
Yes. Have you been inside that elevator?
Oh, yeah, I rebuilt that one, that hoist, too.
Oh, when?
No, that's...
That's quite a while ago.
That's quite a while ago.
Yeah?
There used to be a sign in there, one person plus the operator.
And now, when you rebuilt it, we could get more than one person plus the operator
just,
in it?
Just fix the motor up on the top. But that whole place is driven by rope drive.
It's now been changed, but it was driven by rope drive, and the owner, Mr. Maylott, has kept all of the old ropes, and of course he's left all the hanging pieces there.
You used to walk in there when that place was running, and as soon as you walked in to the rope drive floor, like there's a building here with the engine in it and a shaft, and then it goes to the elevator with the rope pulleys. You could feel your hair go up like that from the static electricity.
And that's all from the rope drive?
Yeah, it's the static of the rope going over the pulleys.
Now, when I hear static electricity, I think of...
boom, yeah. Oh, it never had problems. Oh. Yeah, old rope drive on that one.
Remember anything else about it? Do you remember anything about that is no longer there?
Well, like they replaced the coal plant with an electric motor, and it just turned that shaft, that's all. Mm. But just turned it like crazy, too.
So tell me, what noises should I be listening for on the elevator before I panic?
I don't know. It depends. I imagine it's been changed by now.
It's still the cage.
Oh, yeah, well, can't wait.
Yeah, I'll check it out. That's great. That's a nice little tidbit, because the Pool 5, no, Pool 10, mm-hmm. which is Western Grand, used to be Fort William Elevator, yeah. F, I think, yeah. Is the one that we're putting forward as our National Historic Site.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is the living museum.
Yeah, it's going like, still a going concern, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, of all that we're on the river, it's the only one left.
It's quite a beautiful elevator. The look of it is
very... For what it does.
Yep, yep. So let's take a look at some of these pictures, and maybe you can tell me who they are.
Oh, I got a picture here. Somebody was asking where Pool 9 was. Used to be right in that hole right there.
And what happened to it?
They knocked it down. United Grain Growers knocked it down.
In order to build this...
No, that was there too, but... It used to just be a work, almost a workhouse, nothing else.
Mm, it was quite small.
And it, foundations are still there. If you drive there, you see the hole right where it is.
Okay, I'll look for it, because I was wondering. It was one of the earliest ones. It was built as Union Terminal, and then it became Pool 9, but it's Alberta.
But it was small, very small. But,
yeah. But at its time, it was...
About a quarter the size of Parrish and Heinrecker.
Yeah. You know that Parrish and Heinrecker is closing down. Yeah, I saw that in the newspaper. Anyway, let's take a look at our pictures. But, you know, before we do that, I want to take a picture of you, comment. So just do what you...
Whatever. Like this. Yeah. I haven't got any left. Yeah, you could...
I want to do another one, because that was good, but I moved the camera. Just sort of put your head up a bit. Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's surprising why that place never blew up.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Oh, I like that story. Okay, let's see what we have here. I don't think I left the stickers on. So we'll have to...
No, I think just family there.
No, there's different... There's pictures in there.
There may be a couple in here.
I have to put that album back together. I've got the post things for it. There's some there. Unless there...
No, I think there were at least a couple in here.
Yeah, there were a couple in there.
My father took hundreds of pictures of Pool 5. Blew up while they were taking it down, and the book is full of them.
There we are, loading at 204-1920.
Okay, the boat there that the guy was killed on was where that one is. And this whole wall up here come down and went right across it. And that dock there is from Pool 9.
Oh, the little dock that we see sort of up in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that one of your relatives, the body wasn't found for...
6 weeks.
6 weeks. How did they eventually find the body?
Took the grain off the ground. He was outside and he went around the corner. And this corner tank split, just to see what...
Isn't that sad? Oh, my goodness. So this one here, I don't know what that is, but it doesn't look like it's at an elevator.
No, that's not an elevator. I don't know where that is.
Well, let's...
Well, she said it's if she wrote on it, loading Pool 4, but... Yeah, that's...
I think that goes with that.
Yeah.
That's probably the shipyard somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, two boats in Pool 4.
Yeah.
Two boats in the slip at Pool 4.
So that would be Alberta Pool
That's
dock again?
Alberta's dock again.
Okay.
Two boats.
Okay.
In on Pool 4.
Now we're looking at this picture taken by Regina. How did the elevator, that's how the elevator, Pool 6, looked just before, I guess, it was blown up. How did it look different when you were working there, or did it look pretty much the same?
That's pretty much the same. The boats They're still around.
The tug.
In Stiff's colors, I think. Mm-hmm. Oscar Stiff's.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. There you are.
Well, that's UGG and...
Oh, yeah, it's the South End.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or what we call the inner city group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna put this on pause. Okay, just a sec. Let me start this. Okay, describe the picture you're looking at right now.
Breaking ice in the slip, pool 4. The James Whale under breaking ice.
So what time of year do you think that would be? What month? This year. This year, April.
Last week. That'd be in April. Late April.
Hmm. How can you tell that?
Well, that was the main break. They went out, broke to open water, then came back and done all the slips. Hmm. They still broke the slips when the Alexander Henry was commissioned because it was too strong. It'd come in and break the ice and break the docks. So the Whalen and Strathmore stayed here just to do the ice breaking. I don't know what.
There's some in there, otherwise.
Boy, my family sure. Foot of Arthur Street.
Red River.
Okay, just tell me what you're looking at here.
Pictures of Pool 9, which was between United Grain Growers and Pool 4, and the fire in 1932 destroyed it.
You know, when I first saw this album, that was the first I had any indication that that had happened. Nobody else had mentioned it, so I really appreciated having the.
Oh, my father loved these pictures. Pictures.
Are your nieces and nephews still around? Did your sister have children?
Oh yeah, that's who ripped these books apart.
Do you think they may have a collection?
They're in Winnipeg.
Oh, I'm going there.
Mm-hmm. Tender subject.
Because we're on
a lot of the pictures they took didn't belong to them. Mm. So.
Maybe you just have to put a note in the Winnipeg Free Press saying anybody have pictures of Thunder Bay elevators. Okay, yeah. Here we've come across a few.
Oh, okay, here. Okay, this is, again, this is Pool 6. The Annex 3. The big picture. That one. This is the Annex 3.
We're now looking at one of the pictures that Regina Colombe took. And where's Annex 3?
This is Annex 3 here.
Okay.
It didn't have a floor.
Okay, so how do they keep the grain in?
Well, the tanks were there, but there was no cap on them.
Oh, I see. The actual annex floor level.
Yeah. They flooded it because of the huge volumes of grain coming in. They had no... And this is what the annex looked like when it was flooded.
Okay, you're losing me here. Tell me about this again.
Okay.
Like, if this is the annex floor...
That's only grain.
That's grain.
There is no floor.
Okay. And but shouldn't there be bins?
The bins are under this.
Oh, they flooded it with grain.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's good to know, because I would have thought it was flooded with water.
No.
Okay, so start explaining that again, because I'd like it all in one.
Bumper crops of grain from the west. There was no storage capacity for them. So they flooded the open top tanks. And they just poured the grain in on top of everything else that was there. And the only drawback was when they pulled the grain out from the bottom, it pulled anything, that railings that were up there went down the tanks.
When would that have been? Do you know approximately?
That was in the 50s, I guess.
Ah, that when they were having all the wheat being grown and
nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were really. The other book has pictures of all the crunched up railings and everything else that went down the holes.
Hmm. Now, what are we looking at here? We have the new bridge in Annex 1.
Okay, this Annex 2 here. Annex 1 is behind it. That's the workhouse. Then Annex 1, Annex 2, Annex 3. This is the bridge between them the belts went in.
Okay. So just to describe this so that when I'm attaching it to a photograph, we were looking at the photograph, again, taken by Regina, and Annex 1 is on the water side of the workhouse. Annex 2 is on the land side, on the left-hand side, and Annex 3 is on the right-hand side as we're looking from land. And the bridge that is referred to in the photographs where they are putting the new bridge in Annex 1 is between Annex 1 and Annex 3, and you can see it up in the air.
The belts ran through the annexes and through those tunnels to the next one.
So they would enclose these bridges?
They're enclosed, and then the belts and everything run through them. That's how you get from one annex to the other.
And this picture that we're looking at here with the gentleman, the stuff that's hanging from the crane, is that part of the bridge?
That's part of the bridge, yeah.
Okay, would you say that just so that we have you saying?
Yeah, this is pictures of when they were constructing the bridges. One is it's hanging from the side of the building, and the other is it's hanging on a cable. It's almost complete. Yeah, these are the Sasapool picnic. That's got to be a Murillo or Chippewa Park.
Why would you say that?
Because of the
As
grandstand.
Opposed to the
The grandstand.
So this would have been, well, before you were born.
Oh, yes.
And so they moved the picnic to the casino?
Casino grounds, yeah.
And these pictures would have been pictures that your dad had taken?
Yeah, my mother or probably my dad.
You don't see your dad in any of the photographs?
No.
Tug of war?
And where else did they used to go to another place? Bishop's Field. They used to go by train, which is now the municipal golf course. That's where the train comes in.
So would they have gone to Chippewa by train, too?
No, they had street railway then, to Chippewa.
So this is likely Bishop's Field?
This is probably Bishop's Field.
And that's attached, well, this is 1931, and this is 1930, so it is possible they could be different places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a fashion statement, looking at the woman's clothing. Yeah? Dressed up for the picnic. And then I think we're back into family photos. I don't know if there's anything more. Lovely soul photographs.
Okay, this is...
Oh, yeah, we've come to the St. Lawrence Seaway here, and this would have been mid-1950s. It was opened in 59, I think, if I've got that right.
Just where they were just starting it here.
So how did you get these pictures?
My mother and father went down there to visit my sister.
And where did she live?
Montreal. Montreal, I think, at that time. She moved around all over down there. But they took all kinds of pictures.
So any idea of where this was?
Around Beauharnois.
Beauharnois?
I think that's how you call it. Yeah.
In what province?
Quebec.
In Quebec. Oh, okay.
And here you drive right underneath the water. They kept the canal open.
Oh.
And you drove through the tunnel underneath it.
So here you're pointing to the photograph that has a car approaching this tunnel. And the wavy stuff on top is water.
Yeah. And they're moving all the houses away. The Long Sioux control dams.
Well, so when you think about your short but illustrious career with the grain elevator, What were you most proud of?
Loading grain on an oil tanker.
Oh, well, that story needs a little bit of expansion. Tell us that story.
When the Russians bought all the grain that we could produce, there was a big shortage of ships for it. So they sent over oil tankers to take the grain. They had to make funnels to go into the pipes that would take the oil. And you put the funnel in the pipe, put the grain in the funnel so it would go down into the holes. And when they got to Russia, they put vacuum hoses down those pipes to pull the grain back out again.
So where was there was oil, or that was the only way you could load an oil tanker with grain?
That's right. Only way you could oil.
And what were the condition of the tanks? Like, were they clean?
Oh, they were. They're all inspected before they're loaded. They were super clean. And it took forever to load an oil tanker because you couldn't shoot it down, the grain down as fast. Had to go through a funnel.
And wouldn't that have created some problems with trimming? Like trimming the load?
No,
so that
it was
didn't...
full. It was full.
Yeah.
Trimming is quite interesting, but it wasn't our job. So.
You watched them do it?
Oh, yeah. They're right there with you while you're trimming a bolt. But... it's all a matter of lights. The front and back of a boat have red and green lights that show if you're loading it evenly. And there was one boat, I can't remember the name of it, but it was one time brand new, and it got caught in a storm and twisted. So when you loaded it, you had the lights had to be crooked for the boat to be loaded straight.
it helps knowing the boat you're loading.
Oh, yeah, the grain trimmers have to know every boat. They got to know it inside and out. And I said, well, how come you got different lights? You got a red and a green. The boat's twisted.
If you look at the boat now, it's straight. Mm-hmm. But when it's empty and that, it'll have a twist to it. Mm-hmm.
So I guess you couldn't be colorblind and work as a grain trimmer.
Not really. You're just...
Ask lost. The other guy.
No, you just... There's two lights on this side, two lights on that side.
Ah, okay. So that would... Just where they were, like a traffic light, you could tell by position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Any other stories that I haven't sort of pulled out of you yet that you'd like to have recorded about your time with the grain elevators? Or... anything that your dad might have commented on?
No, you weren't allowed to smoke in the elevators. And my dad came into the scale shack one night and he said, oh, whoever was smoking at the window, get a pail and go put out the fire on the roof. Everybody smoked. And somebody was smoking with her head out the window and the butt went down on the roof, it set fire. My old man never got flustered about anything.
Was that when he was a watchman?
Yeah. Get a pail and go put it up.
Did he ever have trouble when he wasn't a watchman with people just sort of hanging out for the night in the elevators?
Oh, no.
No?
There was always people working. There was always shifts going on. Because pool 6 had dryer. And there was always wet grain. So you always had a shift on midnights. So you were never in there alone.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
I'm going to ask you a question. You can take a few seconds to think about it if you like. Just as a lead up to it. I didn't know very much about the grain industry when I was when I started this project, but in speaking to people like you and others here and out west, I've actually been amazed at how much Canada accomplished, given how big a country we are, how far removed from our markets our grain is grown, and how every piece of it seemed to, at least over time, work together so that we got a good reputation as a grain nation. Given what you did, how do you see the jobs that you did contributing to Canada's reputation as a first-class grain country?
Oh, just a clog in the wheel, that's all.
Just a little clog in the wheel? Yeah,
little clog in a big wheel. That's all it is.
A little cog in a big wheel, and what if your cog wasn't there?
It wouldn't have hurt.
You don't think so?
No.
No?
No.
If they didn't get weighed properly?
No, it's...
Somebody would have done it?
It's all caught eventually.
Yeah.
Like it's all weighed going in and it's all weighed coming out, no matter what it's in.
And who does that?
A little clog somewhere.
another cog in the wheel, the Canadian Grain Commission.
No, they don't touch it.
No? I thought they had to have a weighman on, along with the company's weighman.
He just comes by and hands you a little ticket to punch. He punches it on the scale, marks the weight, that's it.
Yeah, compares it with yours.
No,
did the company do their own too?
Oh yeah, but see, the government weighman gives you the ticket. You weigh the grain, punch it on the scale, and then he copies that weight into his book, and your shipper copies that weight into his book, and then I don't know what happens.
And it matches up in the audit.
They're both identical. Yeah.
Okay, well, this has been wonderful. Mm-hmm. We have done over an hour, and I was very pleased to get information about those pictures, especially the flooding, because here I was expecting a whole bunch of water. That's cleared up. So thank you very much. It's been enjoyable, and I hope you found it the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Great.